Our guest on the World Cafe today is the formidable guitarist Chris Forsythe, who has been living in Philadelphia since 2008. After many albums over the last couple of decades, originally with the band Pizzeye and solo and with others in various collaborations, including with Meg Baird, he's been playing with Solar Motel for the past few albums, and that includes the latest out this year, Dreaming in the Non-Dream, which is out on No Quarter. Today, Solar Motel includes Matt Stein on bass and drummer Ryan Jewell. We'll hear them playing live on stage in just a bit. But before that, Chris, I wanted to get to know you. Good to see you, first of all.
Yeah, thanks.
And
nice to be here.
This I use the word formidable on purpose because you're playing on this is just fantastic. But could you kind of give people a brief description of the arc of your interest in guitar and music in general? Because I kind of have a feeling you've come from one place to where you are now.
Yeah.
Do you remember what caught your attention as a kid?
Sure. Just the sound of electric guitars on the radio. I mean, you know, originally hearing classic rock, I mean, the Rolling Stones, just that Beatles, that stuff, the sound really caught my ear. This would be in the 80s, and at the time I was, you know, I was into, like, punk and, you know, indie rock of the day, like, you know, the Replacements and Sonic Youth and so forth. And that was really, like, the music I grew up on. And I played in rock bands, and I was trying to figure out how the guitar worked, and I think to the casual observer, it probably looked like I knew what I was doing, but I felt like I wasn't there. So I moved to New York from New Jersey, where I originally grew up, in the mid-90s, and I discovered that I could take guitar lessons from Richard Lloyd, who was the guitar player in Television, one of the guitar players in Television, along with Tom Verlaine. And so I went to him when I was probably in my mid-20s, early 20s, and basically he, like, sent me back to point zero and taught me how music works and kind of changed my entire approach to music and the way I think about it and the way that I play it. So then it took me maybe like 10 years to feel like I could take what he taught me and like really apply it.
That must have been humbling, though, to go back to the start.
Yeah. I felt like I'd hit a wall. And so sometimes in life, you know, you realize like, huh, like I'm bumping into this wall. I need to find out where the other direction is, you know?
Where do you think your sound, your specific sound, comes from?
My fingers. I mean, seriously, I think that the gear stuff, I mean, I'll go down a gear wormhole with the best of them, but ultimately it's like the touch of your fingers is the most crucial part to anyone's guitar sound. And so that's why, you know, you'll hear certain people pick up any old guitar and that, you know, it's them. It doesn't, you know, I think it's easy for people to make these connections because, you know, between a certain instrument and an artist, and maybe in some cases that's true. But for me, it's really about, you know, the touch and the, you know, the vibrato of your fingers and so forth.
I'm not sure you're ever going to escape the quote in Pitchfork's review of this album where they talk about something I hear completely in what you do, that there's an experimental side of what you do, and mm-hmm. that always seems to be there. But the first thing you started talking about in this interview was 70s, you know, classic rock.
And that's my roots. I mean, that's the stuff that, you know, when I pick up the guitar and, you know, play a chord, I still feel that, you know, spark that is when I was 13 or whatever and learned how to play a chord. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that I consider myself kind of a classicist with experimental tendencies, you know. So,
what's the inspiration for the title of "Dreaming in the Non-Dream"?
Well, okay, now it's time to get dark. We did the record right around the time of the election, which I think was you know, kind of it was entirely unsettling, and. You know, since most of the music that I do is instrumental, I'm always trying to find a way to convey some other kind of meaning or through the titles. And so I wanted to kind of reflect when we were in the studio recording, I mean, we were talking about the stuff and what's happening? Like, what is this and what's going to happen? And can you believe this? And so I had found this quote from William Burroughs that was said the, you know, the American dream is actually a non-dream, and to dream within it is like to transgress it. And so I wanted to try to come up with something that was you know, positive, like there was some kind of hope in there, but like I felt like we're trapped in this bad dream or non-dream of the election results, and trying to still somehow, like, you know, find a way through.
The centerpiece of the album is the 15-minute long piece called Dreaming in the Non-Dream, and I thought we'd hear yet another version of a live version today, live on stage at World Cafe Live. And Chris Forsythe, great to meet you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks a lot for coming in. Let's go to the stage. All 20 Minutes of Dreaming in the Non-Dream, which is the title track of Chris Forsythe's latest album that was recorded on stage at World Cafe Live. Big thanks again to Chris and the band. I'm David Dye for the World Cafe.